This is Friends of History Debating Society. Pacific Watch is Jeff Bliss, just back from Vegas, the high roller himself. Del Mar being closed, he goes to Vegas for the action. On the way back, however, he meets Eddie World, revelatory of where California is in the worldwide energy shortage. I don't think there's a shortage of jerky, pizza, burgers, corn dogs, but we'll find out. Jeff, Eddie World, I'm looking at the website. 1,135 reviews, all extremely positive. This is a service station, right? So let's begin with the service station before we go to the corn dogs. What is a gallon of gasoline at the Nevada-California border, heavily trafficked by lucky touts such as yourself? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So the gas prices are, of course, higher in areas that are trafficked by tourists, and I-15 is a major route from Southern California into the Las Vegas area. It almost feels like an east-west run. But along this route, of course, there are all kinds of gas stations and restaurants. And Eddie's World is probably one of the most famous, and it's huge. It's just this massive complex. It's not a gas station. It's a complex. And you have a large building that has several restaurants inside of it. I mean, it's got a whole wall just basically with beef jerky. You've got Tesla charging stations, a whole parking lot dedicated to that outside, gas pumps everywhere. It's the largest gas station in California, and like I said, it's a place where many people stop. We did today on the way back from Vegas. And on the low-end gas, as my dad used to say, low test, it was $6.37 a gallon, $6.37.9, so really $6.38 a gallon. And this is really indicative of what's been happening in California and where we're heading elsewhere. We've got crazy prices throughout the state.
Now, this is heavily trafficked. It's not driving season. This is a major lane, so they're seeing lots of people pulling in. This says there's also Tesla charging stations. Are the Tesla drivers sitting over there smirking?
You'd think. On one hand, they are laughing in a way because they're not paying what we do, obviously. On the other hand, they are kind of tethered to these charging stations. And I've been with a number of people in their Teslas, and even though they're told how much farther they have and where the next station is located or several stations are located, that's all the information that Elon sends them, they do feel kind of tethered. Like, they do have to worry about where the next charging station is. It's not as ubiquitous as, say, gas stations are these days or have been, and maybe we'll get there someday. But right now, they're worried about getting there. And then once they do get there, there's often a wait because there are other people coming from Vegas or going to Vegas that have electric cars, and they need to charge them as well. So it's not quite that easy. It's not, that they're laughing at us all the way to the bank, but they are having a chuckle as they see the prices go up and up and up throughout the state.
Jeff, these corn dogs look frightening. Are they?
I think it all depends who it is that wants to eat them. Some people, I think, really, not to pun here, but do relish them. On the other hand, some of the food in that place is like any food court or carnival that you go to. Some of the stuff is pretty massive. I wouldn't touch it. It's too big.
We go from the very expensive border with corn dogs to In-N-Out Burger. Now, I do not know In-N-Out, but PacWatch is Pacific Watch. Jeff Bliss, he has instructed me over the years, this is a major chain in California, very popular, the food is most desirable, and there's trouble in San Francisco about the virus. What's the trouble, Jeff?
The problem right now with In-N-Out in the Bay Area is that In-N-Out, as well as other restaurants and retail outlets, are being leaned on to be the vaccine police. In other words, if you're going to be a customer that wants to come to their outlet or their venue, what have you, it's incumbent upon them to make sure you're vaccinated and, you present your ID, your card and all that before you're allowed access. And In-N-Out said, look, we're not opposing vaccines. We're not doubting them. But what we're saying is we shouldn't have to be the vaccine police. And that puts us in a bad position, with customers and customer relations. And it could actually endanger some of our workers. And we all know that San Francisco is full of a lot of people that don't respond well to, authority figures or being challenged on things. And I think really San Francisco has been creating an environment lately where people or groups like In-N-Out say, look, we see what goes on at these other businesses, whether it's the shoplifting or people from the street who assault workers. And we don't want to put our people in that kind of situation.
Jeff, what does an In-N-Out burger look like? Is it massive like Eddie's World, or is it more intimate? Is it a restaurant, a sit-down restaurant, or just takeout?
It's a sit-down burger place. It's a very simple menu. They basically have hamburgers and cheeseburgers and fries and soft drinks and milkshakes. That's really kind of about it, and different variations of that. But they've made a name for themselves because their food is always fresh, their facilities are always immaculate, and the service is beyond great. It's fantastic. And so they've developed this reputation around this branding that they really didn't even have to push that has, you know, endeared them to a lot of people. And so we've seen In-N-Out start as a small Southern California drive-through favorite and expand throughout the West. And now they're talking about, you know, they've been moving across the nation now. Their whole rule is they can never have a store too far from their distribution centers because they want their food to be fresh. They don't ship frozen beef or, you know, things like that. So that's been a big reason. But it's kind of the ethos, the company's culture that really attracts a lot of people, where they go to other restaurants, fast food restaurants, where the customers are treated as kind of cookie cutter as the burgers are that come out of the freezers. That's not In-N-Out at all. They're very good about it. On top of that, they treat their employees like gold. So if you're a student, a high school or college student, you not only are given the time off to, say, study for an exam, they tell you, you go study for that exam. And it's really amazing to see how many people come up through that company who start as cashiers and cooks and then rise through the ranks of management to become executives. And that's part of it, too. They carry that culture with them. You never go to In-N-Out and really worry about having a bad experience in terms of, you know, customer relations. They go the extra mile for people. So that's one of the reasons why they're so beloved throughout California and the West.
This says that on October 14th, I believe, the only location in San Francisco was closed by the San Francisco Department of Public Health at Jefferson Street and Fisherman's Wharf. Would that be a heavily trafficked site?
That is a heavily trafficked site. I've been there several times before when I lived in the Bay Area. And not only attracts the locals who want to go there because of the great products they serve, great food, but also the tourists that come through there, some from out of state that have heard about In-N-Out and others who just know it from, you know, having enjoyed it themselves. And you know what? It's a reasonable price too. That also brings people in. So it's, you can't say enough about In-N-Out. I know that people throughout the West will say, well, if I'm in Texas, it's Whataburger, and you hear people back east say Five Guys, but really In-N-Out is an institution in the West, certainly in California.
Jeff, puzzlement. I spend my time in two very heavily one-sided states, Connecticut and New York. You understand. And most recently, my experience in New York, New York State, along the Hudson River, in Westchester, in a very expensive town, a packed restaurant, no questions at the door about vaccines, no masks in the restaurant. New York State. These are not outlaws. These are the major taxpayers. So, is California out of step? Is San Francisco out of step? Is there something going on in San Francisco that you can't say that we don't have the virus here the way we do in San Francisco?
Well, San Francisco is really an odd case. It doesn't surprise me that this has been a problem that came up in San Francisco. So on one hand, you have, you know, anarchy at times on the streets of San Francisco, people defiling the streets, the theft rings that are running on and on. You know, the large scale exhibits of mental illness that are impacting everybody throughout the city. And on the other hand, you know, they pull these rules, these silly rules where they, you know, basically make people provide these types of proof. You know, I've had the vaccine and I'm wearing a mask and I'm being social distanced long after other areas have given up on some of those things. It's just, that's so San Francisco. It's not a surprise that they're the ones that are doing this.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. We're going to turn to the fires because right now there's good news about the fires. We've learned a deal about weather and fires. This is Pacific Watch, the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.